We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous.
Everybody come to the Breakfast Club. I call this the hot seat.
Y'all are wild. Can I live?
You are out of control. I can't even deal with you.
Y'all are so petty. Why are y'all so petty?
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Captain of this bitch.
Angela Yee.
I stay in everybody's business, but in a good way.
Charlamagne the God.
The ruler of rubbing you the wrong way.
The Breakfast Club.
Ain't for everybody.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Thursday.
Yes, it's Thursday.
Salute to Boston. We'll be in Boston later on today.
Yes, we will.
You guys, but I'll be in Detroit.
For Boston Summer Jam, we'll be out there a little bit. Who's on the Summer Jam? I know Wale's there, Post Malone. I can't think of anybody else.
Joyner Lucas.
Yes.
So we'll be out there for that.
Yes.
And I'm going to Detroit. I'm going to the National Association of Black Journalists event that's going to be in Detroit this whole weekend.
And I just want to thank iHeart Mafia for making our transportation quite easy today.
No, we got a front
Shut
of the ball. We got
no,
a front
no,
of the ball.
No,
yeah.
No, we don't need to do that. We can do that later on Instagram if you want to.
Yeah, if you feel like it.
You know what I'm saying? If you feel like going live.
I'm flying commercial.
Well, let me tell you about this bird, Charlamagne. You know, we're at dinner with our boss, and, you know, we're talking about the show and the progression of the show and if we need anything. And when I mean need anything, I mean like pens, pencils, laptops.
New laptops,
things
because
like
we've
that.
Had the same laptops for 8 years.
So he says, our boss says, well, what do you guys need? So Charlamagne goes, stop the music. He goes, there's a show in Boston, and you know, can we use the jet? And he said, yeah.
Listen, man, I keep hearing about this mythical jet, all right? I keep hearing about this mythical jet that the Godfather Elvis Duran and Ryan Seacrest and the big boys of the world use. So I just asked, let's do it out there. Let's get the wall, see what sticks.
And he said, okay, so.
I got a pregnant wife at home, man. I don't like to be away.
That was okay. Good. So he said, yeah, so we'll see how this works out. They, you know, they're going to fly us to Boston on the PJ, the private jet.
I'm just saying.
And then they're going to fly us right back.
Man, listen, my wife.
Y'all need to join the Mile High Club up there.
My wife got a scheduled C-section next month, okay?
Just in case.
I like to be close to home. You know what I mean? I can't be away too long. You know what I mean? I can't be spending 3-4 hours in the sky, 3-4. Yeah, no.
Okay.
Oh, can't do it.
I ain't mad at you.
I'm gonna take that jet. Need to be in and out, man.
Now, if you follow me on Instagram, you see that I'm heavily in the real estate. And I found some new pockets of real estate in New Jersey where property is pretty inexpensive. So I've been really, really getting my monopoly on, looking at different properties and buying some foreclosures, some three families. So I picked up two yesterday, and I'm so happy about that. Not too expensive, not too much money down. There's ways to F the system, and I'm going to tell you guys about it one day.
All right, well, I was at church.
Did you just say it's ways to F the system?
Yeah, I don't know why.
To get around the system so you don't have to put, you don't have to put a lot down.
Jesus Christ.
So you can get around a certain thing so you don't have to have
Evie's
a lot of money
lot
to invest.
Might be different than my a lot, but shout out to Bishop Whitehead. I was at church last night. They did a church honors hip hop, honoring women of hip hop. So I was there last night. So shout out to everybody that was there.
That was in
involved.
Brooklyn?
Yeah, that was in Brooklyn.
Did they do 50 Cent at one time?
They did 50 Cent last 50 Cent. Week.
Yeah, they asked
it was 50
me to come
Cent,
by.
Casanova,
Uncle Murda.
Yeah.
In church?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly where them three need to be. Casanova, Uncle Murda, and 50 Cent need to be in church.
Yeah.
That is a fact.
Actually, Bishop Whitehead had on a t-shirt that said, get the strap yesterday.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, my goodness.
He said, get the cross. Or get the Jesus.
Get the Jesus.
That's what the shit said. Oh, shoot. Drop on the clues bombs. One of you pastors better go make that happen. They having the Hillsong Conference all week. Pastor Carl Lynch, Reverend John Gray, yep, at the Barclays, and Stephen Furtick. If one of them don't come out with a get the Jesus t-shirt, they not paying attention to what's going on in New York.
My goodness.
Well, it was very inspirational last night. Tahiri was there. Shout out to Jatan, who invited me to come down and participate. Dr. Bobby, it was really great. All the women in the room.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's get the show cracking now. Chloe and Hallie will be joining us this morning. Now, if you don't know who they are two beautiful girls from Atlanta that are signed to Beyonce. They are also on Grown-ish.
And
so we'll kick it with them.
Song.
Mm-hmm. We'll kick it with
Watch
them next hour.
World, I'm grown now.
Thank God you can't sing. And yeah, we got front page news coming up. What are we talking about?
Yes, well, since we're all traveling, some of us aren't going on the private jet, so we'll tell you what will affect you.
What are you talking about?
When it comes to the TSA, we'll give you some information about that.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ NV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now let's talk TSA. What's going on with TSA, Yee?
Yeah, TSA is considering eliminating passenger screening at more than 150 small and medium-sized airports. That would be a crazy thing to happen. And according to CNN terrorism analyst Paul Cruikshank, he said it was stunning that this is even being seriously considered.
What do they mean, eliminate passenger screening?
So basically, a lot of times people have connecting flights in these smaller airports. They don't have the high volume, greater capacities that more advanced security measures have at larger airports. So they say that you would actually be screened when you arrive at major airports for connecting flights instead of joining the screened population.
That kind of makes a little bit of sense, though, because if you get checked at a major airport and then you connect at another airport, it's not like you went outside or anything to have to go grab anything.
But what if you're not going anywhere else but to the next airport? Or what if, as a terrorist, you know that they're not going to check you at this particular airport?
That's true. Well, can they, though? I thought, because don't you have to get off the plane and then go into the building? It's not like you can go outside the airport
and
come back in.
They can't go outside and come back in. Yeah, once you in the airport, you got to stay in that airport.
Yeah.
And then what if you get on the plane with something?
Well, how did you get it? You still got in the airport. You had to get searched to get in any airport.
To a smaller airport?
If you come to the smaller airport originally, you're going to have to go through screening.
You got
to
get.
But if you're coming
screening.
From a major airport and connecting at a smaller airport, you're not going to go through screening because.
No,
they're
saying they're not going to do any screening at the smaller airports.
Oh, at all?
Yeah.
No, they can't
small
do that.
And
no,
medium-sized
they can't do that.
I think they mean after you get off a connecting flight.
Yeah, no, they can't do that.
No, they said they will screen you once you if you're going to a connecting flight.
That don't even make.
No, nah, that don't make no sense. They got to screen,
screen
you
when you arrive at a major airport.
Because even if you get in a small airport, you can still crash that small airplane,
that's
small aircraft.
Saying.
No, they can't do that.
They're saying they want to cut screening at small and medium-sized airports serving aircraft with 60 seats or fewer.
No, they can't do that. That won't pass nowhere. They can't do that.
Yeah, I don't know how this could potentially
that's
happen.
Not happening.
Not at all.
Now, I am with what they said. They might allow you to bring liquids and not have to take your laptops out. I think that's a great idea because
that's why you got pre-checked.
No, you gotta. Nah, I feel safer when they check those liquids.
What are the liquids gonna do?
Remember, like that one guy that was trying to spray people with his that liquid and set the plane on fire one time. No,
man,
check the liquids.
I just want to be able to bring my shampoo on the plane.
Nah, check the liquids.
Pre-check.
All right, now a judge has ordered a man's mouth taped shut during sentencing. This happened in Cleveland. According to reports, Franklin Williams was accused of 3 armed robberies in Richmond Heights and Euclid, and he would just not stop talking despite more than a dozen warnings from Judge John Russo. This was over the course of about 30 minutes. Here's what happened.
Well, Mr. Williams, I'm the judge in the matter. Shut your mouth, and I'll tell you when you can talk. You got it?
But you're not letting me tell
that means zip it right now. If we have to, I will gag you in 1 second. So listen, you will get a chance to talk. I'm going to gag you in 1 second. So just listen to me. Zip it until I give you a chance to talk. You'll get a chance to talk.
They put a big piece of red tape over his
mouth. Yeah, 2 big pieces of
tape.
That's
disrespectful.
They can
what
do
if
that?
What if he was a Crip?
Huh? You stupid.
Well, listen, what's funny is he was convicted on counts of aggravated robbery, kidnapping, theft, misuse of credit cards, and having weapons under a disability. Now, his trial had started last year, but he cut his ankle bracelet, fled to Nebraska, and then he said he was hit over the head and lost his memory.
Dropping a clues bomb for him.
That's a great story. Right. But you can't do that. You just can't tape somebody's mouth like that.
I don't know if
that's
you can
inhumane.
Or not.
You can't do that.
Is it legal, though?
No, that can't be legal.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
If you could do that to some people, you would. All right, come on. You never want to put a big piece of tape over my mouth?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, but I'm not the law, though. You know, the law, you can't do that. You can't just tape somebody's mouth.
The judge should have just told him, if you don't shut up, I'm going to give you 10 extra years.
He warned him over a dozen times.
I can't breathe. Now I'm passing out. Now I'm fainting. Now I'm suing.
He ended up getting sentenced to 24 years in prison.
You know what I'm saying?
Damn, should have shut up.
I don't think that would have mattered.
That's all the judge is trying to tell him.
Oh my goodness.
And by the way, if you give me 24 years, I'm not going to stop talking. You already give me 24 years.
Me,
so I'm going to keep talking. F you, judge.
I'm going to piss you off the whole day. All right. Well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night, bad morning, whatever it may be. Get it off your chest. Hit us up. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, what's going on, Evie? Good morning, Angela. Good morning, Charlamagne.
Good morning.
What's up, my brother?
What's up, man?
Yeah, I got two things I want to talk about real fast. I want to tell everybody that's hating on LeBron or have any kind of little excuse to say why he ain't do this, why he ain't do that. Be quiet, man. The brother's reaching out. He's trying to help his kids. He's trying to help his community. He's doing a lot more than a lot of people are doing. And Shadavia should be congratulating him.
Hold on. People are hating on LeBron for opening that school?
Trust you, bro. You go on the internet, people are saying, oh, well, he didn't do this school for all black kids. Or
what?
Why is he doing... Yeah, if you go back, go to your... Dr. Umar was on there the other day saying, white people build schools. Jews build schools for Jewish kids. We build schools for everyone. Like
Dr. I love Dr. Umar, but he should not get involved in this conversation.
Yeah, he has a school to build
yeah,
himself.
Yeah, people going
to
be asking, where's the money that you've been raising to build a school?
Yeah, like, people that are not doing anything are criticizing LeBron. And people find, you know, any reason to hate on him. Another thing, though, before you guys cut me off, the interview yesterday with Leo Cohen.
Yes.
Very, very dope interview. I really liked it. You know what I mean? It was very insightful. But it also kind of shows what Dame been saying for a long time, that Leo is not really of hip-hop culture. And I mean, he would have been an exec if pop was popping right now, if rock and roll was popping right now. He's not really a hip-hop guy, even though
he's been in the business for 37 years.
So long, but
he's been in business for a while.
From the interview that I got, he's not really in-depth on it being a hip-hop culture. He's more in-depth on it being a business. And if for some reason that hip-hop should fade out right now, he would just move on to the next genre. But great interview nonetheless. And you guys are doing a great job.
Leo would be happy to hear that. He called me yesterday and he said, is it the hit, Charlamagne? Is it a hit? Is it a hit? How do we know if it's a hit?
My goodness.
What are the analytics? What are the metrics of a hit interview?
He should know because he runs YouTube over there.
That's what I told him. I said, probably YouTube views.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Julian. Hold on, my wife wants to talk.
Oh, okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm literally just waking up.
We could tell.
Yep.
You ain't brush your teeth.
Why you
nothing.
Call
you
a bit with
steak
breath,
that didn't smell like yesterday's adventure.
Hey. Sounds like your boyfriend.
It smells like your boyfriend.
1 o'clock in the morning.
What's up, though?
No, I just want to shout out my brother. I feel blessed. But my brother's locked up, but I just want to shout him out because I just found out he listens to this. So his name is Rob.
All right, well, shout out to Rob.
Hey, Rob.
All right.
Thank you. Hello, who's this?
It's Rich Campbell from Cambridge. I got something to get off my chest.
Go ahead, brother.
I think Charlamagne with the spicy mayo cast, I think he'll feel this one.
Talk to me.
The thing that bothers me is how EDM music, the EDM cast, took the Running Man and called it the EDM Shuffle and gave us that little cat night. I think of you, little Running Man type thing.
Right.
I haven't seen that yet. I heard about it, though.
You've seen the Running Man Shuffle, man. What's wrong with you, man? That was a year ago.
Yeah, but I didn't know that they was calling it something else. I just looked at it and said, oh, they're doing the Running Man again. I didn't know they renamed it.
Yeah, they call it the EDM Shuffle. And then the other thing that bothers me with the same subject is how they call trap music. If you look up trap music comes up, brings up EDM trap now. Don't bring up real trap music.
That I know. That I was aware of.
So it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if black people are going to catch on eventually and it's going to be too late, but it's already at that point where and just switching things out on some culture vulture status and trying to get away with it, you know?
They already got away with it, sir.
My goodness. All right, thank you, brother.
Have you seen the top 10 list of EDM DJs? Not one of them are black.
Nope. Get it off your chest.
When it comes to the Forbes list.
800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're man
or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
It's Cam calling from Jacksonville.
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Hey, man, I'm new to social media. This is, new to me, but I've been looking up there, man. We got to stop cooning on the internet, man.
Who cooned? What are you talking about?
Man, I was watching a video of a guy. He's like, I guess he was being a Trump supporter. I don't know if he was being serious or not, but he's basically saying that Trump stood for
black people. You talking about Pastor Darryl Scott?
I don't even know, bro.
That's his name, Pastor Darryl Scott. Listen, in the words of my sister Angela Rye, all your skin folk, not your kin folk, brother. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, man, that junk was crazy, though, man. He basically was saying that teaching minorities to be good people is basically what he's saying Trump stands for, and Obama stood for one big mess or whatever. I'm like, dude, you got to stop that, because they're taking that and they're using that to push their agenda. They're basically thinking like, yeah, that's right. You know, all black peoples are on welfare and all minorities are bad. We got to stop doing that, man.
Yes.
We're not helping our side out. We're helping them push their agenda and push that Make America Great Again by, you know, pushing black people out the picture, all minorities out the picture.
Tune in to Donkey of the Day today, sir. We're going to talk Pastor Darryl Scott.
Hello, who's this?
This is Jasmine.
Jasmine, get it off your chest, mama.
I just want to talk about how the D.C. housing is too tenant-friendly. I've owned this house, and the tenant has not paid rent in 3 years.
Your tenants haven't paid rent in 3 years?
In 3 years, and the D.C. housing is protecting them. We've gone to court. I pay for lawyers, and they pay for their lawyers and everything, and it's like literally nothing I can do.
It's funny you said that. I was just talking to Charlamagne about certain areas, and certain areas really ride for the tenants. You know, they actually have classes for tenants that tell them how to not pay rent and how to squat in somebody's house and not get kicked out.
It's hard to get squatters out.
It's hard to get people out in certain areas.
It's like squatters got more rights than owners.
And they help them. They don't have to pay for their lawyers.
Nope.
They don't have to pay for anything. And you're spending all this money just to add a hope of gleam to get them out. And she's just sitting in the house paying no rent.
Yep.
Free lawyers.
And you got to pay mortgage and you got to pay taxes.
Yeah,
yep.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for you, mama.
And you got to spend all that money.
But I tell you, though, anybody looking to buy an investment property, that's one place that you have to look. You have to look in areas where they don't really have tenant rights, where people can't just stay in the place for like 6 to 9 months. Where I go, the longest they can stay in is about 30 days.
The house that I bought before the guy bought it and sold it to me, he asked, there were squatters living in that house, and it was a mission trying to get them out.
It's unfair, but thank you guys so much. I don't want to say I love you guys and everything, but this it needs to be stopped.
We feel your pain.
All right, mama.
All right.
Get it off your chest, 800-585-1051. We got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, let's talk about a new documentary coming. I know y'all going to want to watch this one and find out whose album has officially been pushed back. You thought you was getting it next week. Now you got to wait.
All right, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Quincy Jones.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, get ready for this documentary called Quincy, about Quincy Jones. Now, a posted special announcement from me and my unbelievably talented daughter, Rashida Jones. When I was just a kid living on the south side of Chicago during the Great Depression in the 30s, my grandmother used to cook rats for my little brother and I because that's all we had to eat. Unfortunately, the only role models I had around me were gangsters, and the only future I had in store was that of a typical statistic without a mother. I never thought I'd see a day past age 25, and I sure didn't think that one day I'd have 7 incredible Rugrats or 79 Grammy nominations or have produced the best-selling album of all time. But here I am, 85 years young and counting. At the end of the day, his Quincy movie is coming to Netflix on September 21st. It's a documentary about his journey.
I'm stuck on his mama's rat recipe. I want to know what that was like. How did she cook those rats? Did she fry them? Did she saute them?
You probably have eaten rats.
Did she boil them?
Don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I want to know the recipe.
At some point, I know. That's a crazy story. But yes, so that should be really interesting. I'm excited to see that. Like I said, that's going to be on Netflix September 21st. Let me mark that down right now. All right, something else to mark on your calendars. Nicki Minaj, if you are ready for her Queen album to come out on August 10th, well, push it back because the album has been pushed back. It's coming out on August 17th. She posted, "My darlings, I have a huge surprise I can't share until the day before Queen drops. So in the meantime, check out this playlist I made for you guys. I did Fifi with my new BFF from Brooklyn. He's a little funny looking, but he's really sweet under all those tats." She goes on to say, "I have classic bops with all three of them as far as YG and 2 Chainz." She talks about working with Ariana Grande. She's one of the realest artists I've had the pleasure of working with. She couldn't fly with me to Turks to shoot the bed video, so we shot her scenes in Malibu. But she said the album is coming on August 17th. We told you guys this already, that she was having some issues with some clearances from Tracy Chapman. And so hopefully that's all getting resolved, but it might have caused her to have to push back the album. All right, Terry Crews and Samantha Bee, they've done a PSA talking about not making jokes about male sexual assault. They said it's not a funny thing to joke about. The truth is, one out of 33 men in the U.S. have been victims of attempted or completed rape, meaning men are vastly more likely to be sexually assaulted than to be falsely accused of rape. Sexual assault of men is a real problem, not a joke, despite the way we tend to talk about it. Here is a clip of their PSA.
Hi, I'm Terry Crews. You know me because I'm Terry Crews. Maybe this happened to you. You're a funny guy and you're telling a joke that's real edgy. Maybe it's about prison rape. Maybe it's about boys getting molested. Either way, it's not getting the laugh you want. I'm here to tell you how to solve that problem. Stop telling those jokes.
They're not funny. They've never been funny.
You're a hack and everybody knows it.
Hey, man, been there, done that. That's a great PSA for now, and he's absolutely right. But I still don't think comedians, radio personalities, or musicians should be punished for things they said years ago, because if so, we all in trouble.
Well, they also, in this particular clip, showed different jokes that they considered to be unfunny, people making jokes about rape. They even had a clip of a drop the soap joke that was on SpongeBob SquarePants.
I mean, there's been millions of drop the soap jokes, though. I mean, the climate was different just 6 or 7 years ago. Culture has changed, so you can't, you know, get those kind of jokes off now, all that kind of color commentary off. But that's why I can't stand when people pull up old clips of things. Like, you can't hold people to that anymore.
Well, what they're trying
especially
to say
if the narrative has
is
changed.
They want to encourage people to stop making those jokes moving forward. They
yeah, for
wanna,
now, absolutely.
They don't want to punish what happened in the past. They just want to say moving
oh,
forward.
Oh, yes, these people do.
I'm talking about this particular they
love
PSA.
They love retroactive punishments.
All right, all right. And J.R. Smith, he's under NYPD investigation, and that is because they're saying that he allegedly stole and threw someone's cell phone. Now, a fan, I guess, wanted to take a picture of him, and J.R. Smith turned him down. He said no photos, but the fan took one anyway, and that's when J.R. Smith approached the fan, took his phone out of his hand, and launched it into a nearby construction zone. Now, according to the fan, his phone was damaged and he had to file a report with the police. So he has not been charged with a crime yet, but cops would like to speak with him.
That's amazing that J.R. Smith knew exactly what to do with that phone but didn't know what to do with that basketball in game one of the NBA Finals.
You are stupid.
In the final seconds of the game. He knew exactly where to throw that phone, but he didn't know where to throw that ball.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
Is it true Tristan Thompson and Draymond Green got into a fight?
They said they pieced it up, though, and that it was, according to them, it was highly exaggerated, but I guess they were out later on that night and everything was fine.
Draymond posted last night that wasn't true, though.
Yeah, he
I
said
saw
it
him
wasn't true.
On the ground. Okay. Draymond Green's my favorite player in the NBA.
Although witnesses said they did see it, he's saying that whole thing was just not too exaggerated.
Okay.
All right. Money's on Draymond in the fight.
All right.
Between him and Tristan Thompson.
All right, now when we come back, we're going to kick it with Chloe and Haley. Now, they're on Grown-ish. You might know them. They're signed to Beyonce's label. And we're going to kick it with these young ladies when we come back.
Watch out, world. I'm grown now.
All right, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Let's get in some front page news. Chloe and Haley will be joining us about 15 minutes now. What are we talking about, Yee?
Let's talk about the TSA. They are considering eliminating screening at smaller airports at more than 150 small and medium-sized airports across the United States. Now, the only way you would get screened is if you get off that flight and you're going to a connecting flight in a major airport, then they would screen you at that major airport because they're saying those airports have high volume with greater capacities and more advanced security measures than smaller locations. But they're saying is this would save them a whole lot of money at the airport, about $115 million annually, that could be used to bolster security at larger airports.
But does this mean that if I pull up to an airport that's not like an international airport or it's a smaller airport, they're not going to screen me? I don't understand.
Well, that's what they're considering.
That can't be possible.
I'm telling you, this is what they're considering doing. Now, according to a terrorism analyst at CNN, he said it's stunning that this is even seriously being considered. Mm-hmm. They said no matter what, Al-Qaeda and ISIS still regard aviation as a priority target. That includes aircraft where you have fewer than 60 people on board. Just imagine if they get on one of these small planes and crash it into a building or something like that coming from one of these smaller airports. Anything could happen. It doesn't sound like a great idea to me. And listen, we're the ones that always have to suffer time-wise, but we know it's a sacrifice we have to make.
Absolutely.
For our safety.
Safety first.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we'll see what happens with that. And all right, now let's discuss Facebook and Instagram. They're going to tell you how much time you spend on each app. They have a new set of features that they're going to be rolling out on Wednesday that will help you manage the time you spend on those platforms. So there's going to be daily and weekly data on time spent within each app. That way you can figure out maybe I'm doing too much.
Good.
Instagram.
You can see how much time you're actually wasting, how much of your life you're wasting. You know, time is your only luxury. That's the one thing that you will never get back, and you can spend countless hours on Instagram and Twitter.
Well, they have a feature that will temporarily mute push notifications and a daily reminder system to notify you when you've hit a designated cutoff time for the day.
That's good.
Yeah. Makes sense.
They want people to just monitor because you might not even realize how much time you're spending. So it'll be really interesting to get this data.
I was thinking about that thing. You know how when you go into the comedy show, you got to put your phone in that little pouch?
Uh-huh. Yes.
They need to have something like that that's timed. So when you go home, like you can put it away for 10 hours. Mm. So it'll just be gone. You can't unlock it. Or it won't unlock for 10 hours. Something
I just
like
leave
that.
My phone downstairs and then...
I do that too.
I do that and then I'll be like, oh, I don't have my phone.
I just
my problem
off.
Is
the
my...
worst is when you leave your phone for a couple of hours and no one texts you or calls you.
I don't
and you're
care.
Like, is my phone still working?
Man, I'd be happy. I'd be glad nobody hit me.
All right.
My only problem is I have my alarm on my phone.
You have to have it next to you.
Yes.
Yeah, it has to be
especially
next to
when
well.
I sleep. Yeah. Which makes no sense because I got two alarm clocks sitting right there.
I have an
there.
Alarm clock too in my room and I never use it.
I have two phones. I have one for family members that I know that stays on me, and then the other one is just I just leave off and I just only use business hours.
You got two phones?
Two phones, yep. All right. Well, that's front page news. When we come back, Chloe and Haley will be joining us, so we'll kick it with them. Of course, you know them from Grown-ish. They signed to Beyonce's label, and they could sing their ass off. And we'll talk
very
to them.
Very talented young lady.
When we come back. So it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building, and I'm already jealous. These guys have been talking makeup since they got here about contouring eyelashes.
Contouring.
It's contouring, sir.
Well, you guys know
Thank
and
you,
I don't.
Tell them which Fenty shade you use.
We have Chloe and Halle in here. Good morning.
Watch out, world. Hi. I'm grown now.
Okay.
How much do y'all hear that a day? People just walk up to y'all singing it?
Sometimes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. But it makes me happy knowing that it's a theme song that gets stuck in their head because mm-hmm. that was the goal when we wrote it. Mm-hmm. So
wrote and produced it,
yes.
right?
Yes, mm-hmm. we did.
Who taught y'all musical chops? Because don't y'all write and produce all your music?
Yeah, we write and produce everything. We do it all in our living room. I feel like that's where we're most comfortable.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we just kind of love to experiment, throw things out, and see what sticks. We're more of, like, the feeling type of girls. And if we don't know something, we look it up. I guess we, you know, we grew up having that, if you don't know, figure it out mentality from our parents. So, yeah, that's how we learned it.
You guys started when you were 5 and 7 doing
mm-hmm.
music. That's amazing. So is your family like a musical family?
You know, musicality is sprinkled throughout our family. Our father...
Looks like he beatboxes.
Our father's mother is a really, really great singer, but our dad cannot... Sing. He has a great ear, though.
Great ear.
So y'all sound good.
Yeah.
I don't know why, I thought y'all was twins. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And our mom has a beautiful voice, but no, we're not twins. Everyone always thinks we are.
Now, how did you get started, for people that don't know? You're signed to Beyonce's label, but how did you get started? How did she hear y'all, if nobody knows?
Yeah, so we're from Atlanta, Georgia, and mm-hmm. we were singing around town, and people would always tell us, oh, maybe you guys should post YouTube covers. We were like, okay, sure. We never took it that seriously. But one day we were bored, and we loved this song, Best Thing I Never Had by Beyonce. We found the instrumental online, mm-hmm. and we recorded it in our basement. We uploaded it, and we were honestly happy with, like, the first 100 views because we weren't really expecting much. But mm-hmm. then it just kind of kept progressing, and then bam.
Now, y'all not going to sit there and tell me y'all got signed to Beyonce because of no YouTube video now. How did this go down? How did it happen?
No, that's
did.
Real. Yeah.
That's really
she
what
saw
happened.
The video?
Yeah. Yeah, she saw our video to Pretty Hurts.
Really?
And apparently she had started watching all of our videos, and you know, we got an email from her company, Parkwood, and they were like, hey, can we post this on all of her socials, and are you all signed? Mm-hmm. And when me and my sister saw that, of course, we freaked
out.
What
does a Beyonce email look like?
Well, we were freaking out. It has, like, the Parkwood seal from her company, mm-hmm. and we were like, wow, that must be legit, mm-hmm. after we thought it was fake. But, you know, it was really cool, and then after that, we found out she wanted to sign us, and then we were just catapulted into this really awesome, endearing mentorship, and, you know, just her guiding us along the way.
When did y'all first meet her?
Oh, wow. Well, when we first met her, I was 4, and we acted 2.
What?
Yeah.
You were 4 and you were 2?
Yep, and it was in the Fighting Temptations. I played the younger version of her when I was, like, 4.
Oh, wow.
And so that's when our paths first crossed. So it's crazy how the universe works and sends you, like, those little signs.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah.
But I'm talking about after y'all got signed, but when did y'all meet her after they sent the email?
It was like a month after. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she had no idea you were the same girl that she met.
Yeah, wow. She flipped out because we have pictures together.
So. That is like, that definitely, this is meant to be.
Right? Yeah.
Now, how tough is dad with you guys? Does he force you guys to sing? Like, you know, you know, when you have a kid.
Joe Jackson.
Yeah, when you have a kid and you don't really play basketball good, you want your son to be that good because mm-hmm. your dad can't sing. Is he like, y'all going to be some singers?
Absolutely not. No? Our dad is very supportive of us, and mm-hmm. it's what we want to do.
And you ladies both graduated from high school,
yeah.
which is dope, and posted it. So, because a lot of people might have been like, look, we doing this thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's not important. But it was important for you guys to graduate and congratulate each other and mm-hmm. let people see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually just graduated because I just turned 18. So I was really excited to be finished because it was a lot, like traveling.
You have normal lives, you know, because you're everywhere. You're on TV. Yeah. Like, do you have a license?
No, she does.
Do.
I love to drive. I have my Mini Cooper. Her name's Cleo. She's blue, my favorite color.
Okay. You got a Mini Cooper.
Yes, I love her.
Ain't that a grandma car?
No, Mini Cooper.
She's so cute. I love her.
That's like the little eco-friendly joint?
Yes.
Yeah, technically.
And they're very safe, too.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, how did the Grownest thing come about?
We love Kenya Barris and Yara, and we've known Yara for about 4 years, even before the whole Grownish thing. And we were at the BET Awards. We were accepting Beyonce's award, and Yara was presenting it. And I think that was the moment Kenya saw us all together in that type of space. And, you know, we met in his office, and it was such good vibes from the start. And next thing you know, he was like, I'd love for you guys to be on the show. We were like, of course. And we didn't even really audition for it.
Mm.
And I remember the very first time we went into the table read, and we saw the script. And before this show, we didn't really cuss like that. But it was fun because our characters, Jazlyn and Skylar, they're like the complete opposite of us. Mm-hmm. So it's like tapping
into...
They
get to cuss and do things that you really
exactly.
want to do.
We bring out our inner Atlanta.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've missed out on social interactions being a teenager, like just a regular kid teen life?
People ask me that, and I always am like, no. I honestly, from the bottom of my heart, really don't think so, you know? Mm. I always... Anytime I feel like, oh, I'm missing out on something, I'm always one-upped by it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, I wasn't able to go to prom, but because we were performing at Coachella. I was like, that's a pretty awesome prom.
I'll take Coachella
like,
for prom.
Things like that, I'm like, you know, this is my life. This is what is supposed to happen for me right now, and those things can happen later. I can always party later.
What about you?
Yeah, I have to say the same thing. Music is definitely my outlet, and I feel like we're all like born with the gift, and it's your job to share it and inspire others. So I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. It's pretty cool that I get to do what I love as my career.
Mm-hmm. Do the boys try to holler a lot at you guys?
I mean, yeah, but we're so focused, it's kind of like, you know,
blinders.
Or you want daddy to lead the room and answer the question again, or what?
I mean, he knows, but we're so focused on music right now, and with our album, The Kids Are All Right, we're just so happy that's out. Mm-hmm. We worked so hard on it. We were spending long hours in our living room just working from scratch. Yeah. And
how much do y'all argue as sisters?
You know, we argue a little bit. I mean, we're sisters.
Yeah. Who's the diva of the group?
Well, that's the thing. It flips.
It flips.
Everyday life, I'm the diva. But when it comes to our music, she's like the boss.
That's because you're the baby sister.
Yeah.
Exactly. What do you mean the diva? Like, what do you mean?
Like,
takes you long to get ready?
Like, no, I don't take long to get ready. I'm like the one who keeps us on schedule. I'm like, okay, we have to clean up our rooms now. We have to do this.
We have to clean up our rooms. I love it.
Yes.
We have more with Chloe and Haley. Let's get their single on right now. It's called Happy Without Me featuring Joey Badass. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. You probably seen them on Grown-ish. They're signed to Beyonce's record label. We have Chloe and Haley. Charlamagne?
Y'all got a line on the album that says that fake woke hashtag in the song Fake. Expound on that.
Well, you know, we live in this world of social media, and, you know, we're very just energetic all around. And what inspired this song, Fake, on our album was that, you know, because we're genuine people and so nice, sometimes people thought, oh, my gosh, you guys are, like, fake. Are you guys real? Like, right. Is this for real? And we would always be like, you know, that's crazy how people can't even receive someone being kind without thinking, oh, you must be fake. And so in this song, we just decided to put all the things that society thinks of as fake and what we see as fake. And it just kind of turned into that mash. So with that fake woke hashtag, and of course, as this generation, we have amazing voices to speak up, and we're able to do that with social media. But sometimes all they're doing is just putting a hashtag and like, okay, I'm done. I'm done. I did my job. Just putting a hashtag.
I hate the word woke. I feel like all these woke people need to get some rest.
Exactly.
They're so tired at this point. Like, I can't stand it.
I agree with what you said about that, though, about being too nice. Like, people think because you're nice, it's not interesting. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, shut up. You're being too nice.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's wrong with being nice and being like a nice person and caring about people's feelings? Mm-hmm. I don't understand when that got to be not cool.
How do y'all deal with social media? You talked about the fake woke, the stay woke. How do y'all deal with it? Because I see so many people now, it's difficult with depression, and people will get on you if you have a pimple or if your hair is to the left a little bit too much or if your feet look too big. Like, they will attack you. How do you guys deal with social media?
Oh, wow. Well, I think social media is like a blessing and a curse, because without it, we technically wouldn't be in this position. But then also sometimes we take breaks from it. We'll have like those social media hiatuses. You know, we'll just be like, okay, I'm deleting the app. And I'm just going to step away. But it's also about who you surround yourself with. You know, people who bring you down and give you those negative vibes, it's just going to rub off and feed off on you. So I'm happy I have my sister, because whenever I'm sad, she like picks me up, and vice versa, and our family. And yeah, so, and whenever I'm in that bad mental space, I like to pray and meditate. And I love the water because I'm a Cancer baby. So
me too.
Hey.
Hey.
So yeah, water and praying and meditating helps me.
And social media don't help none of that. Because I wake up in the morning, I want positive affirmations. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get none of that from social media.
There are some good Instagram positive pages.
There are.
But
it messes it up, because you'll read one and then you scroll right under that and then somebody's saying, I wish you died this morning.
Who do you follow?
Because every morning I wake up and I say, thank you, God, for blessing me with another day of life.
That's good.
But then it'll be people saying, I wish you died.
Well, you can't let that bring you down. They're obviously unhappy with themselves.
You need to block that person, Charlamagne.
And you know, it's important to have a great real life. You know, it's not all about social media. If your real life is great and you surround yourself with great people, then all those things, I think, is just, we can't let our feelings and our lives be run by what's on social media. We have to make sure we do things and be active.
What are y'all most passionate about, music or acting?
Music is my first love, personally.
Music is definitely my first love, but I still love acting. I remember when I was like 8 to 10, I was obsessed with the thought of being a Broadway star because it had everything fused together. But music is definitely my first love. But what I also love about being on Grown-ish too is how we get to like combine, you know, both. You know, we wrote and produced the theme song, and then songs from our album, The Kids Are All Right, were throughout the entire season. So it's pretty cool how it works out that way.
And you did the visuals with the album also.
Yeah, the short film. Mm-hmm. That was pretty fun. showing like the visual aspect, because I feel like our music's pretty visual.
What kind of CEO is Beyonce? Is she in the studio with y'all? Is she like overseeing your music?
Yeah.
Like, can you pick up the phone and call her?
Yeah, you know what? I love her so much because she allows us to shine as individual beings. And she knows how powerful she is, and she's lending us her resources, but also letting us shine on our own.
Right.
And I think that's something pretty special because, you know, a lot of artists, they'll sign to these big labels and they'll be taught what to wear and how to sing and how to move and all of that. But we get to create what we want to create. And of course, we'll send her songs and she'll give us her notes. But at the end of the day, she's always like, we get to do what we want to do. And, you know, don't dumb yourself down for the world. Let the world catch up to you.
How'd you guys get ready for the On the Run 2 tour?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we've been prepping for this tour for months before it started. It's been really fun. We've just been hashing out our show, trying to figure it out, because we found out we're doing 20-minute set before DJ Khaled. You know, it's all really exciting, but it's interesting putting together a stadium show because it's so many people and you have to learn how to connect with each and every one of them. So it's a process, you know. The first couple of shows have been amazing, and you know, we're just working on notes and just perfecting it.
Are y'all tired? Because that's
really
a lot
fun.
Of cities, a lot of traveling,
you know,
a lot of dates.
I'm not tired yet.
You know, I love the tour bus because I get the best sleep on there.
Yeah.
And when I am tired, I drink some good green tea. Mm-hmm. I'm not into coffee yet. Maybe that'll come down the line.
I stick to the green tea.
Okay. Yeah, stick to green
tea. It's better for you.
Yeah, so Dough Matcha is really good. And this whole, like, we have a passion for this, so that energizes us on its own. So I'm just really excited. And it's only been like the first 4 or 5 dates, and we've learned so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 2 more months left, so we're going to be like so in shape and like our mental and physical. And I'm just excited.
Has Beyonce made y'all babysit yet?
He's like obsessed with Beyonce.
We love the children.
This is interesting. Beyonce's artist. You know how dope you got to be to be Beyonce's artist?
That's a lot of pressure too, though. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, she's such a great mom, and we love the whole family.
So. Yeah.
Do y'all have the frustrations of dating that your characters on Grown-ish do?
You know,
I mean, honestly, even if we did, we're so like focused on our craft that it doesn't really bother us.
Yeah, we don't really see the issues of dating right now.
Yeah.
We're not really focused on that.
Yeah, but what I think is pretty cool about Grown-ish is how we get to show through our characters, Jazlyn and Skylar, what other, you know, young black girls are going through in the dating scene right now. And I think that's important for them to know that you don't need validation from anyone, no man, nothing, just love yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool how we get to share that through our art.
Will Grown-ish be able to keep y'all? As y'all careers continue to blow?
Oh, of course. Okay. We love
Grown-ish is huge, though.
Yeah.
It's a great platform.
Yeah. Literally, right after we finish tour, we start filming season 2.
Yeah.
So.
How do y'all pick the single? Because y'all in a weird place. Like, the adults love you, but the kids love you. So it's kind of like right in the middle. How do y'all decide, you know, am I going to lean a little to the adult side or a little to the kid side?
You know, we just follow our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is cool about that point is we're kind of on that verge, too.
Right.
We're still kids, but we're also turning into young women. And I think it's just going to be true to ourselves and our hearts, whatever music we create. And it won't be like one or the other.
Because it's funny you said, we're on tour, but we got to clean our room. So it's like,
Gotta
clean our room? But we're going on tour.
Yeah.
If y'all don't clean your room, will your daddy let y'all go on tour?
Yeah.
Your parents be like, if you don't clean your room, you're not going on tour.
We're not going on tour.
You know,
we not going on tour.
Yeah, I love my mom. I'm the messy one of us two. And I love my mom because sometimes I'll make deals with her. I'm like, after I come back from rehearsal, I'll clean, Mom, I promise. And she'll be like, all right. So I love our parents.
They should set aside a budget for you guys to have someone come
clean the room for you.
Like, I'm very busy writing music and going on tour.
Dad, you don't make them pay rent?
They said they pay for the house.
Okay.
Now, the rent.
Aside from music and acting, I'm sure you guys have a lot of other things you're passionate about, like maybe fashion.
Oh, they got to go.
Makeup, hair. Okay, are there any other ventures that you guys are embarking on?
Yeah, you know, music is always my first love. And, you know, us being producers and writers, of course, we want to also do that for other artists.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, diving more into the acting thing and also fashion and makeup, you know, just sharing that.
Okay. All right. It's The Breakfast Club. It's Chloe and Halle.
Hey.
The Breakfast Club.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee, DJ Envy. Angela Yee, why is Envy getting his eyebrows done?
He's trying to look like you.
I see that. What'd you do to your eyebrows, bro? Why?
I was trying to get my eyebrows like yours. Like, you got the perfect arc. perfect angle, but
it's called an arch, and my arch is natural, by the way.
No, it's not.
It is natural.
No, it's not.
Listen, let him say it's natural.
It's not.
It is natural. I don't get my eyebrows arched.
He had fat transferred from his...
salute to my barber.
That's his eyebrow.
He cuts eyebrows?
No. Ty don't arch.
So why would you salute your barber if your eyebrows are natural?
Because I was saluting him to say, I don't get my damn eyebrows arched.
So you salute someone who doesn't do something.
Ty, I'm coming in later for my eyebrows, bro.
Let me tell you the truth. Back in the day.
There you go. Come on.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Back in the day. I'm talking about back in the day.
Back in the day, day.
I'm talking about 98. Mm-hmm. 99. I did get my eyebrows arched a couple of times. A girl suited me up to do it.
So why did you tell us it was all natural? Listen to me.
You are such a sis. Salute to my brother Wax. Salute to my brother Dre. They both called me and said, we will slap this at you if you come around us with your eyebrows arched.
You got your eyebrows done.
So instead you got microblading.
No. So what happened is when I stopped doing that and just let them grow in, I guess it just kept...
The arch that you put in already.
Yes.
No, that's not natural. But anyway, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Leo Cohen.
Wow. It's time. She's spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, as y'all know, Leo Cohen was on The Breakfast Club yesterday, and one of the questions was about whether you would choose talent over issues. Here's what happened.
She asked me talent or issues, and I said talent. But I can't give up on people.
But I'm saying that's hypocritical, though? You're saying
it's opportunistic.
Yeah.
I got people to feed. I got a business to run.
You're going
to
make Dame Dash take this clip and call you a culture vulture.
Well, Dame Dash did.
Who's Dame Dash? You brought him up. I don't even know him.
Well, Dame Dash did apparently hear this clip, and they do know each other. And he said, thanks for this, Lior Cohen, for proving my point in true culture vulture form. They make money off us and then try to erase our true history and act like the real ones never existed. Not going to happen, bro. I benched you for the culture. Enjoy your desk job at YouTube. You're going down in history for who you really are. I made sure of that. Tuma, how do you even work with this clown? Look how he disrespects your brother. Stay tuned. Culture Vulture's book. And y'all see he's unapologetic. He pays his bills at the expense of us. Big question is, why can't he sell any rock music? Why can't he eat with his own culture? Stop fronting on my people like you mean something. Your own culture laughs at you.
I mean, that's a good debate because we do give artists creative leniency when it comes to what they talk about in their music.
And they should have.
Whether it's drug use or drug selling or violence or whatever. But it's just different when you hear an executive say, you know, like an executive can let an artist be an artist, but it's just hears them wrong to say, well, you know, I know they're doing something wrong, but I got to eat. You know what I'm saying?
I think he said he got people to feed. I think he's talking about the whole entire company. Like, there's employees there.
Yeah.
So they're signing people that are artists that people are buying, and the consumer is buying this music.
And then executives have to let artists be artists, right?
Like, they do. He said he does talk to them about it.
So.
But I still don't know the definition of culture vulture.
Get Damon Dash's culture vulture book.
Buy Dame Dash's book, Culture Vulture. Drop on the clues bombs for Dame Dash. Okay.
At one point, they were very tight, so it's interesting.
They made them a lot of money. They made a lot of money together.
Yeah, they both made each other a lot of money.
They made a lot of money together.
All right, Demi Lovato is leaving the hospital this week. She's doing a lot better. The plan is for her to get out of the hospital, but now she has to figure out, is she going to go to rehab or what? So they said she stabilized from her overdose. It was so bad she was in danger of dying, and they want her to go to rehab. Her team wants her to, but it's ultimately up to her. So one person who works with her told TMZ that they will quit if she doesn't check herself in.
They try to tell me go to rehab, and I said no. Why that song was so fire? But isn't it problematic in hindsight?
Listen, Lior would have signed that.
Lior definitely would have signed
that. That's a dope song.
Absolutely.
All right, now, Demi Lovato had been struggling with her sobriety for years, and they're saying that she just never wanted to be a role model. Her sobriety over the last 6 years was a fight every single day.
What the hell you got being a role model got to do with it? We don't want you to be a crackhead or meth addict or heroin addict, whatever the hell she on.
Yeah, I guess she felt like she didn't want people watching her and having eyes on her all the time.
Man, so you want to be a pill head?
It's an addiction, and it's hard for her to fight it. Every single day, she was fighting it.
Yeah,
so
don't worry about being a role model. Worry about being sober.
It's not an easy thing, as we know, for people to try to kick that habit. That's why it's an addiction. All right, now let's talk about Youngboy, NBA Youngboy. I went to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and did an interview with him. We talked for a really long time, for hours. It was supposed to be media training. We filmed it. It was a lot of people around. We did have some alone time as we drove from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. But the part that you'll see is when we were outside in his neighborhood. Now, here's what he had to say about going to anger management.
My mind's stuck in this place. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know how to react to certain shit, but I'm learning though. Right. I'll be going to anger management class and all this shit.
What do you be doing in anger management class? Like, what are the kind of things that they tell you?
Nothing. They be asking me what make me mad and stuff. I just be talking about that. I got a certificate though. I completed that class. Mm-hmm. I got to complete domestic violence now.
All right, so he's working on himself. And actually, when we were in the car, he talked to me a lot about what he learned in anger management and not to let people have power over you to make you angry.
I respect it. Mm-hmm. I respect it, man. You know, I respect anybody that can recognize that they're damaged and they're going to do the work on themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right, so he's growing from a lot of things. And then he talks about his dad. I actually met his mom while I was there. He talks about her as well, so you should watch the whole interview. But here's what he had to say about his dad.
My dad in jail. Right. I talk to my daddy every day. Mm-hmm. He just be wanting money and shit, though. But I'll be on some shit, like, I don't know. I still call him daddy, though, to make him feel like somebody. Mm-hmm. But I ain't seen that dude since I was 4 years old. So I send him money just feel like he got somebody there, because I know how it is when you're in jail. What? I barely know him, though.
You ever go visit?
Never. If they ain't putting me in jail, I ain't stepping in no jail.
Mm-hmm. But you still feel that responsibility.
Yeah.
All I hear is damage. Okay.
No, it's a lot. Yes, I mean, his grandmother was the one raising him. She passed away. We were actually at his grandfather's house. He wasn't living with his mom. And he talks about why when you watch the interview. But yeah, a lot going on.
I'm damaged. So damage recognizes damage. But as long as you're going to do the work to repair the damage, you'll be fine. And it sounds like he's trying to do the work.
Right. I know a lot of people on the outside looking in would be like, oh, you sat down with a young boy NBA. But he really was great to talk to. I could see a lot of work that he's been doing. And, you know, I just hope everybody goes and checks out this interview and keeps an open mind. But mm-hmm. Shout out to Young Boy.
All right.
All right. I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Donkey today, Charlamagne coming up next.
Yes. Pastor Darryl Scott, his hairline is damaged. He does the work to keep his hairline together.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's all of that black Beijing. And I think it's going to his brain.
My goodness.
We'd
All
like
right.
to talk to him for after the hour.
And also ask Yee. If you need relationship advice, get on the phone lines right now. 800-585-1051. If you need some relationship advice or any type of advice, ask Yee is coming up as well. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This don't be a donkey, because right now you want some real donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Did she get donkey today? Please tell me.
I have become donkey of the day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
You're a donkey.
Donkey of the Day for Thursday, August 2nd, goes to Pastor Darryl Scott. Now, yesterday, our celebrity in chief, Donald Trump, held a roundtable discussion with nearly 20 inner city pastors, faith leaders, and lawmakers at the White House, and they were focusing their efforts on reforming the prison system. I love that. I'm all for prison reform. I would love to see prisons actually become real correctional facilities where they allow people to get their education, also allow them to learn a trade in prison that would allow them to immediately get work when they come home, not to mention exercise, health and nutrition programs, and faith-based initiatives to really get these brothers and sisters in prison right. Okay, if they're going to be correctional facilities, then let's really try to correct folks, okay? We live in a country that builds more prisons than schools, so let's treat the prisons like schools and actually attempt to rehabilitate people so they come out being better humans than they were when they went in. Now, I'm not one of those people who have a problem with black people or anyone meeting with the president, okay? If you can get through to him and get something done, I'm all for it, okay? If you can get through to Trump and get him to do something that makes America a better place, I'm all for it. I give props where props is due. But that's the thing. You give props where props are due. Personally, I haven't seen Donald Trump do anything for African-American communities. I know what you're saying. Black unemployment is the lowest it's been in years under Trump. But let's be clear, it started with Obama. Economists and money experts will tell you that Trump has had nothing to do with the decline in African-American jobless rates or any group's rates. Okay, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, black unemployment soared to 16.8% in 2010. And by 2016, it had dropped to 7.9%, a whole month before Trump took office. So sorry, Trump, you just inherited a wave President Obama started. Now, once you take that off the table, what has Donald J. Trump done for black people? The answer is nothing for 500, Alex. I mean, I haven't seen it yet. What, you gonna tell me pardoning Jack Johnson? Freeing Alice Johnson? I mean, that's great, but I'm talking about the black community as a whole. What has he done? Well, according to Pastor Darrell Scott, who is 60 years old, he says that Donald J. Trump, our 45th president of the United States of America, is the most pro-black president he's seen in his lifetime. You heard me correct. He said Donald Trump is the most pro-black president he's seen in his lifetime. Let's hear what he had to say.
To be honest, this is probably going to be the, and I'm going to say this at this table, the most pro-black president that we've had in our lifetime, because, and I try to, you know, analyze the people that I encounter. This president actually wants to prove something to our community, our faith-based community and our ethnic community. The last president didn't feel like he had to. This administration is probably going to be more proactive regarding urban revitalization and prison reform than any president in your lifetime. If we work together, give him a chance, we will do something. That we will. This administration will continue to make history.
Now listen, man. All that black hair dye in Darrell's head is getting to him. Okay, Darrell was born in 1958. So he was old enough to see John F. Kennedy Jr. and Lyndon B. Johnson. Now, I don't know if either one of those individuals truly cared about black people, but I do know the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was proposed by Kennedy and pushed through by Lyndon B. Johnson. That bill was pretty pro-black. But let's talk about Trump and how a lot of his policies actually hurt black folks. I mean, you can look at his proposed cutbacks in education. Okay, that means less support for higher education initiatives and deeper cuts to public schools that puts poor and working class black students at risk. Not to mention you have prison reform discussions, but the Trump administration has reversed many of the Obama administration's policies that would incarcerate nonviolent offenders. And that would harm, who you think, black folks. Okay, Attorney General Jeff Sessions has doubled down on the war on drugs. He instructed federal prosecutors to pursue mandatory minimum sentences for low-level nonviolent drug offenses. Who do you think that's going to affect the most? Let's not forget right. how Trump feels about black people, because he referred to Haiti, El Salvador, and several African-American nations as whole countries. All right? We aren't making any progress in combating anti-black racial discrimination in the labor market. Do you know the Trump administration is striving to make it easier for employees to discriminate against black workers? They suspended the rule from the EEOC that would have compelled large companies to report confidential info about what they pay employees by race, and collecting that data would have enabled employers to identify and address discriminatory pay practices which suppress African Americans. And we're not even going to discuss HUD, okay, under Trump, considering tripling the rents of poor tenants in public housing. It's already difficult enough for black folks to find affordable housing. So if you triple the rate, then HUD under Trump will be directly responsible for black homelessness increasing. I mean, the list to why Trump's policies actually hurt black people is pretty long. So I have no idea what Darrell Scott is getting off saying Trump is the most pro-black president he's seen in his lifetime, all right? It's a few colors I would say Trump is for. He's definitely pro-white, he's definitely pro-orange, and definitely pro-green. But pro-black? That's a hard no for me, dog. Please let Remy Ma give Darrell Scott the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw, you stupid motherfucker, are you dumb?
All right, thanks for that donkey today. Mm-hmm. Now, when we come back, ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, we are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is Terry from Essex County.
Essex County, New Jersey. All right, what's your question for you, mama?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what should I do, because, like I said, we was vibing, everything was cool. We did a little something, nothing too major.
A guy but you then, met?
Yeah, we okay. met him. I met him recently, like okay. that same night. So it's like a little hookup thing. But I don't know, am I jumping out the window, because he don't be texting me. Like, it was just the other night, 2 days ago, 3 days ago. But I'm texting him like, yeah, what's good? Like, I'm about to be finished at Dave & Buster's with my people, so call me back. And I ain't getting no...
He's not calling back.
No, they're not. And should I just call back? Like, I mean, I invite them somewhere in a couple of days, but I'm just trying to smash.
Okay.
I'm just trying to secure it.
Okay, so y'all just kind of fooled around, but you didn't have sex, and all you're trying to do is secure that.
Yeah.
But he's probably thinking that you want to go on some real dates.
Yeah.
Because you're asking him to call you, because you know how it is right now. It's just a hookup. People don't normally talk on the phone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
do all of that. It's more spontaneous. But you're asking to plan things a couple of days in advance. And where are you asking him to go?
To a birthday party.
You asked him to go to a birthday party? You don't even know him like that.
I mean, I was just trying to secure my end of the evening thing, because it's out of state.
Or you just want to smash.
All right, babe, you got to slow it down, okay? You can't take... I wouldn't want to go to a birthday party with somebody I just met.
I mean, I understand.
That's a big commitment. Now, if y'all want to do something, why not do something a little more low-key? Like, hey, let me know if you want to grab a drink. So it's not such a big deal. A birthday party is a big commitment. Is he supposed to bring a present? He's going to meet all your friends and family. He's not ready for all that.
Okay.
Do right, something one-on-one, grab a drink, but don't make a big plan like that. That's too much.
Yeah,
right,
especially if it was just a hookup real quick, right?
Right.
Secure the smash, ma.
And don't send too many tweets and don't keep calling.
For sure.
Okay.
And wear protection, mama.
Thank you.
I like that. She said she got to secure the smash. All right. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. You got a question for Yee. Call
on
now.
Morning, everybody.
It's
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hey, Jamie.
What's your question for you?
Hey, I'm trying to deal with this dating world now, but I keep running into the same issue with inconsistent men. So I'm like, I don't know if it's something I'm attracting or... is it something I'm doing wrong?
Where are you meeting these guys?
So I was on dating apps, but that just didn't work. Like social media, going.
You need
going
to go
out,
meet people in real life. And also, you know what we don't do enough of? Letting our friends know that we're looking to date people and getting references from people we know. You know, the problem with dating apps is, yes, people do end up meeting people sometimes, but sometimes, you know, you got to sift through a lot, which means they're on dating apps also, so they're dating multiple people as well. So it can be a distraction. And on social media, same thing, sliding in DMs. You're not the only person whose DM they're sliding in.
That's very true.
You know, it's just too accessible right now, but I do recommend letting people know. Have you told your friends you're looking to date and they can refer you to somebody?
No, and I think that's it, the communication.
Right, so let people know, hey, look, let me know if you have anybody good. Set me up on a date. Do it like that. So at least you have somebody who knows someone that can say, okay, he's a good guy, or maybe he's not. But, you know, maybe group settings, too. Go out with your friends and some of their friends. Tell people to invite single people, and that's another good thing to do. So it's a fun, comfortable environment. If anything, you'll make some new friends.
Okay.
All right, good luck, Jamie.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope you find somebody. But be patient and don't just do anything just because you want to be in a relationship. Wait till you get the right relationship.
Okay.
All right, have a good one.
Our camera guy wants to know how old you are because he would love to take you on a date.
I'll be 25 Sunday.
He said, oof. He's too old for you. All right, but listen, no matter what, have fun while you're dating, okay? It should never feel like a chore to you. If you're not having fun, keep it moving.
Sure. Thanks,
Dee. Good luck, mama.
Bye.
All right, well, let's go to another line. Hello, who's this?
Hi, my name is Christine. Good morning, guys.
Hey, Christine.
Good morning, Christine. Good morning. What's your question for you?
So, Angela, me and my friend, we have been kicking it for like 8 months. And when I say kicking it, you would think that we was in a relationship because we do everything. He stays with me and everything.
Okay.
But he has not gave me no since we've been kicking it. And I want to know what is the issue.
Wow.
Have you asked him for it?
Yes, I have asked him for it. And he'd be like, he's never really answered. He'd be like, it's something that can be fixed. It's something that can be fixed. And I'm like,
wait, he said something that can be fixed.
Break the hard news to her, Yee.
What
do you mean? Wait, hold on. What do you mean when he says something can be fixed?
Yee, just tell her.
He just still hasn't did it. So I don't know if he don't know how to do it. I don't know if he just
I'm going to take vaginal odor for $1,000,
okay.
Alex.
Charlamagne's trying to say that you have vaginal odor.
I'm going to take vaginal odor for $1,000, mama.
No, I do not.
I didn't say you stink. I said vaginal odor.
That means stink.
No, it don't.
Do you trim that area or wax or laser hair removal or anything?
No, none of that. It is clean. It is trimmed. It is dove, fresh, and everything. So none of that.
But look, some guys haven't ever done it. Did you ask him, has he ever done it before?
No, I haven't asked him that, but I'm thinking every guy has been asked.
That's not true. Every guy has not done that. You need to ask him, do you know how to do this?
Did you
be
make
like, because I would love to be your teacher, and you should actually be dressed up in a teacher's outfit when you tell him that. So you're my student, and now
I'm
you got to do anything I tell you to do.
I'm doing him, so I just think that that's just like a part of sex to me, kind of, sort of like. Especially,
right,
you know,
but
you've been dealing with somebody for a substantial amount of time.
You know, Christine, as you know what I think our problem is? We make too many assumptions. Sometimes these guys out there, you don't know what kind of chicks he was messing with before you that might not have been like, hey, I need you to do this. So he might have just been sliding by without knowing how to do it all this time because nobody else has communicated with him to let him know I need this. So you need to tell him I need this, but have fun with it. It can't ever be a tense conversation. It has to be you having a good time. Like, okay, how about we play a game?
I do say that to him, but then I have other male friends. I don't sleep with them, but they are willing to give me and I tell them, like, hey, I'm about to go out and give me Friday night at 7:30. I got a date. And he'd be like, you better not go and do that. You better not play with me.
Christine, I don't know if that's going to make him want to do it if you're threatening to get it somewhere else.
Why does Christine not think fragrance is a factor?
My goodness. She's saying she don't stink.
She says she don't stink and she's trim and nice down there. There are definitely guys that just aren't comfortable with it, right? And they have to learn how to do it. And they should be more concerned about pleasing their woman because it's not always all about you, especially because I'm sure you do it to him.
Right. That's why I do it to please him and it's a part of sex.
Right.
Okay.
So we going to play a game of what I do to you, you do to me. And we're going to keep doing that. And if you stop, I'm going to stop. Okay.
Good luck, Mama.
Ask that man about that odor, Ma.
All right.
That whiff.
All right.
That stench.
Ask
Yee.
That essence. 800-585-1051. We got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes. What is 50 Cent scared of? You would never think 50 was scared of anything, but I'll tell you what has him nervous.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report. With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, in my feelings, that song is already doing quite well. But on his Instagram story last night, Drake said the video is coming out today. He posted In My Feelings video tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
He posted a picture of Felisa Rashad as well from On the Cosby Show. So
that's interesting because Drake doesn't really promote his videos like that.
Right.
He must be really excited about it. So I'm excited to see it. So it should be out sometime today. So make sure y'all keep checking. All right, Beyonce and Jay-Z, they have filed a lawsuit to prevent counterfeit merchandise while they're on their On the Run 2 tour. I thought that was already just illegal. I didn't know you had to actually file a lawsuit to prevent that from happening. But what they do is now local authorities have the right to seize any fake merchandise they spot. So that's going to save them a lot of money so people can't just be selling stuff.
You're damn right.
I thought you could do that anyway.
I think sometimes you got to push the button on that lawsuit. I love suing people. I'm lining up some people to sue right now.
Oh, get in line. I've been doing that.
We're not on that list, are we?
Nah.
I've been doing that.
And you know what? I love suing people even if they don't got nothing.
What?
Because I know that they got to dig deep in their little dirty-ass pockets, try to fight this lawsuit.
Lord, please give Charlamagne forgiveness.
I'm learning, man. I'm trying. Thank you. Please. Pray for me to know how to learn how to forgive. Please.
All right. And 50 Cent, what is he scared of? And you know what's crazy? We were just talking about this. We were talking about escape rooms. And people think that's a fun thing to do with friends and family. It's a quote-unquote life-threatening situation. Well, during an appearance on James Corden's The Late, Late, Late Show, they were talking about it. And 50 said that escape rooms freak him out.
The whole safe room concept is like, it's not really interesting to me. Like, I don't want...
I saved the world.
I know, but it's like Saw. Like the Saw movie... I'm not with that.
Does it scare you, the prospect of going to an escape room?
Yeah.
Well, then me and you should go. Because I'm not that into it. I'm intrigued by it. But I'll go with you.
Okay, we'll go together. We do it.
We'll film it.
I'm just like, look, this is just not one of the things on my list of things to do.
And this is what I said. He said, it's like Saw, like the Saw movie. I told y'all that it's escape room like Saw, and you guys told me it's not. So apparently even 50 Cent says that escape rooms are like Saw. So 50 Cent is a little nervous about it, but I think he's going to try it. He's going to go with James Corden and do it. So we should do it.
Nah, I'm cool on it.
Why?
No, I have fun in doing escape rooms.
No.
See, and people do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and Kanye West, is he about to be a billionaire? Well, Kim Kardashian was on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and here's what she had to say about her husband.
Your sister Kylie in Forbes magazine a couple of weeks ago, they said she's almost a billionaire. Was that news to you when you read that?
No, it wasn't news to me.
She told you she was almost a billionaire already.
Yeah.
And you're not almost a billionaire, are you?
I would say my husband is, so that makes me one, right?
Well, according to The Blast, they're saying that the Yeezys, those sneakers, have hit $1.5 billion. So they're saying that that brand is close to reaching the $1 billion milestone. It was close to that actually just past April. So
yeah, they late.
So it's about to be $1.5 billion. So I don't know how much he gets, but his brand Yeezy is worth over $1 billion.
I know people don't want to hear this, and they say I'm biased ever since I did the interview with Kanye, but There's no sneaker more comfortable for my big ass 40-year-old cornfield feet than them damn Yeezys.
Yeezys,
I like the
Desert
Rats though. Now I like the Desert Rats and the 700s, I think they're called.
The NMDs and 700s with the boost are comfortable. And
I don't
also,
know about the MMDs.
Prestos are comfortable, too.
I don't know nothing about the Prestos either. What
those
you got
are Nikes.
On?
Nikes and Prestos, but the other ones are these.
Oh, I like the Desert Rats and the 700s.
All right.
That's the ones I got, right?
It's a lot of sneaker talk going on in this room. You guys are sneakerheads.
Okay. I'm not a sneakerhead.
Well, how you know all these names of sneakers?
I just know Desert Rat. Envy the one I did throwing out numbers. I don't know what number my shoes are.
I don't know what y'all
are
talking about right now. All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and these are my hype beasts, Charlamagne and Envy, and it's The Breakfast Club. That was your rumor report.
All right. Now, shout out to Revolt. We'll see you guys on Monday. They're taking a day off tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice mixes up next. Get your request in. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.